God is awesome in this place.
Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
Starting off God's house, first Sunday of the year, let's get in the habit of bringing our Bibles this year to church. Why do you say? Dust them off, bring them to church, start reading them, praise God, get them oiled up by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you, we lift you up today as we lift up your word, you honored above your own name. We thank you for the life that's in it. We thank you for healing and power and deliverance and sight and light. We thank you, O God, for the fullness and abundance that it holds. Lord, we thank you, let it become a part of us as we open our hearts today, Holy Spirit, to your instruction, to the word that you would bring to our hearts, as you bring faith and direction and life and light to us. Now anoint me and anoint us as we receive this, Lord. Lord, we know you want to bring a new beginning to your people. And we give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You know, God is a God of new beginnings. That's who the Lord is. It's God who established times and seasons to us. He's the one that allows the earth to rotate every 24 hours so that we have a new day. Every morning that sun comes up, and we know from the scripture in Lamentations 3:21-23 that steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, his mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. That God arranged times and seasons for us to you to get rested every night and to get a new beginning every morning as we enter into that with the Lord. We know that he divided those days into weeks, and we know that Sunday is the beginning of a new week. As we have a new beginning, we rest over a weekend, kind of let things settle and start off fresh on Monday mornings, and that it's the Lord also who divided those weeks into months. He allowed the moon to go through its cycle that we follow in every month. In those 29, 30 days, we start a new beginning and we start a new month. God determined that. It wasn't man who did it. And that then those 12 months make a year as God divides the year by year as the earth making one complete revolution around the sun. The Lord did that. And so it's God. It says in Generations 8:22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. God in his love and his grace gives us new beginnings. God delights in doing new things. Listen to me. God delights in doing new things. He's never going to quit doing new things, even in eternity. He's going to continue to do new things. In Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? And I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's God's heart for you. God wants to make a new way for you. God wants to come into your wilderness and show you the way. He wants to bring rivers of life into you. That's always God's heart. The word new is used over and over in the scripture. Of course, we are living in a new covenant. It tells us that we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. We've received new birth. We've received a new heart and a new spirit. We're called a new man, a new creation, a new man. Talks about one new man as the body of Christ as well. And a new man and a new and living way. We've received a new name. He's given us a new commandment in this new covenant. New song, new tongues, new wine, new heavens and earth, new Jerusalem. It says he'll make all things new, all things new. Think of that. I mean, God is not stuck in a rut. God does new things all the time, and God wants to bring new things into your life in this coming year, in 2006. Someone said that the difference between a grave and a rut is one just has an open end. You get stuck in a rut. It's just like a grave. God wants to do new things in our lives. It's the Lord's grace as he opens doors for us. So this new year is really an important time. It's a dividing point. First of all, it's a time that we clear up the past. We finish that old stuff. We make a fresh start. That God wants us to forgive and lay it down and lay down the burden and the weights that we're carrying. He gives us a dividing line. And that he tells us that we're to have new vision now and a new commitment, a new determination, new hope as we look forward to this coming year. So the new year is really an exciting time. If we'll have faith at all, we know, man, it's a time of a new adventure in God. God wants us to expect something new in our lives. Can somebody in here say praise God or hallelujah or amen or I'm ready, I'm excited. Bring it on, God, something. He's going to bring new opportunities to you you've never had before. Yes, there's going to be new challenges in this coming year. We're going to see God raise up big on your behalf as you overcome every one of those challenges he's promised us. Think of it. There'll be new acquaintances that come into your life in this new year. People you've never met before. Some of you are going to get engaged. You're going to meet somebody, you know, you never even dreamed you'd, you know, and you never dreamed you'd get hooked up with them. You know, opposite attract. Praise God. Some of you are going to get married in this coming year. Did somebody say, oh, no? Don't worry, brother. You won't have to worry about it. There's going to be new lessons to learn as well. Think of the new things you are going to learn. As God brings new knowledge, things you've never learned, never knew existed. As God teaches you new things, things are made available to you. There's going to be new victories. There's going to be new victory and breakthroughs that God brings. There's going to be new blessings. Ladies, there's going to be new purchases. Pay for the old ones first, will you? It's incredible what God has for us in this coming year. There's going to be new life birth, physically. There's going to be people in this congregation that bring forth new life and have babies. There's going to be new grandbabies. I knew you'd be more excited about that, some of you. Yeah, no more for me. I'm done. But my kids can go at it. Hallelujah. New grandchildren. There's going to be new birth spiritually. People are going to find Jesus Christ through your lives in this coming year. There's no greater joy. Bringing forth that new life, watching people find Christ. It's going to happen around the altars of this church and through the ministries of the church, through helping hands. There's more people get saved through helping hands than any other outreach of the church. New life that God brings. There's going to be new life that comes through maturity to us, new spiritual maturity. We're going to see God in new ways we've never before, as we see his faithfulness and his loving kindness to us and answer to prayer. New things that the Lord has for us. See, where there's going to be trouble, of course there's going to be trouble. And there's going to be new problems to solve. And you're going to watch God do them, every one of them. You know, the Lord didn't promise we'd never have problems, but he did promise that he'd deliver us out of every one of them that come. We're going to see God raise up and show himself strong in new ways to us. So it's an exciting adventure. Then, you know, don't be bummed out. Get excited. Now, that's faith. Say, oh, I'm afraid something bad's going to happen in 2006. Well, how about something good's going to happen in 2006? So the Lord said, behold, I will do a new thing. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. My message today is called Launching Out. Turn to Luke chapter 5 and we'll start in verse 1. And just follow along with me as we read. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left off speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a drought. It means a great catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night, we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets broke. And they then beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John and James and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from now on you're going to catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. I want us to notice in verse 5, it says that Peter toiled all night and took nothing. So obviously that Peter was not satisfied. Discouraged, probably. Disappointed, maybe. Dissatisfied, certainly. Maybe even depressed. It just didn't work out the way he'd expected it. He didn't produce anything. Nothing. He toiled and labored. Produced nothing. How about you? How about as you look over last year? Does it seem like you were toiling and laboring and just didn't produce what you really expected? Maybe prosperity, maybe other things. Things just didn't turn out the way you thought. Disappointed, discouraged, maybe depressed. As you look back over this last year, God wants to give you a new beginning. You know, God set the stage for Peter. You know that. If he wouldn't have gone through that, he wouldn't have been open to what the Lord wanted to do. If he'd have been satisfied, I'm doing all right. Somebody better turn that cell phone off. I heard it twice. That's $25, two times for the building fund. Amen. Did you know that? How many know that's a house rule? Every time the cell phone goes off, yeah, $25. But we'll give you grace. Maybe it's new for Christmas. You haven't figured it out yet. You'll get it taken care of next week. I know. See, that's grace. I'm all heart. I just want you to know. And that person's going to be so grateful, they're going to give $100 out of grace instead of just giving that. But God uses circumstances in our lives to prepare us for the great things that he wants to bring us. As we see, we can't do it without him. So as you look back over next year, instead of complaining or murmuring about it, you need to thank God you have an open heart. You say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Here's the next thing I want us to see in verses 1 through 4. It says, and it came to pass that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. And it said down in verse 4, when he left off speaking, he said to Simon, launch out. If you want to see the goodness of God in 2006 and a new breakthrough and things begin to happen, you're going to have to get close enough to Jesus to hear his voice. James 4:8 says, draw near to me, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. See, it's the principle thing. It's always God's principle. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. The Lord gave direction to Peter. He told him what to do. He brought increase. But he didn't do it before he heard the word of God, and he spent time with the Lord. He didn't bless him, and then he heard the word. He heard the word, and then came the blessing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. God wants to bring increase, but you're going to have to get close enough that you hear what he's saying. Spend time with the word. I want to encourage you as a congregation this year. You can read the whole Bible through in a year. It's very simple. If you'll just read two chapters in the Old Testament every day and one chapter in the New Testament every day, and just read either one psalm or one proverb, you'll make it through the whole Bible in a year. It's not that much reading. So I don't have time for that. Isn't that amazing? Did you have all that time for TV and don't have time to read the Bible? And what do you get out of TV? Even if you find something worthwhile, the commercials are horrible. There's nothing on good to even watch. Man, it's hard to find it. You need to take time to do it. You really are going to do what you want to do, what you think is important. Isn't it amazing? I don't have any time, but you find time to play golf. You find time to go shopping. You find time to go to a ball game. You find time to go fishing. Find time to take out the new boat. Come on. Isn't it amazing? You find time to eat. When you get hungry enough, you're going to do it. Same with the Word. You get hungry enough, you'll take time. But you'll find out if you get into it. Some of you have never read the Bible all the way through. And just the wealth that's going to come. There are times it's going to be kind of dry, but there's going to be other times it's just going to be alive to you. And when you're reading the Old and the New at the same time. And I kind of plan ahead. If I know I'm going to be busy this day, then I'll read ahead a little bit. So I want to encourage you to do it. And you set the goal. Say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put God first. And God's going to lead and direct me, and He's going to speak to me. And as I seek Him first, and not just reading the Word, but prayer as well, that we're going to start praying every day. We're going to get hold of the Lord. He says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. Everyone that asks, receive. He that seeks, finds. To him that knocks, the door will be open. That's what we're going to do. We're going to start asking and seeking. We're going to start knocking. And God will pour out His blessing upon you. But you're going to have to seek Him. If you want something new from God, you're going to have to do something new to seek after God. Hello. Listen, that's the word today. How many want something new for 2006? Then you're going to have to pay the price. You're going to have to do something new. You have to break out of that rut. God wants you to do something in a new way. Now, I just don't want to say this, and then we just go, and it's gone. I want you to make a commitment. Say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to commit to it. I'm going to start reading the Bible. Now, you know, we're not going to etch this in stone and bring curses on your head, you know, if you miss Thursday this next week and don't read. I'm just saying, you're going to say, I'm going to read the Bible through. I'm making a commitment, though, that I'm going to read it regularly. I'm going to do it every day that is possible for me to do it. I'm going to do it. Even if you get home late at night, you can do it. Get up early in the morning, you can do it. But I want a commitment. I want a witness. Yeah. GP, are you with me? Hallelujah. How many? Make a commitment to read the Bible through this year. You can do it. How many? Two, what? Old Testament and one New Testament and just one psalm or one proverb. And you watch what will happen. It's just going to bring a new richness into your life as we really seek God, and as we pray, you're going to see that increase. Now, I want us to know, as I'm sharing the message today, that this is the most important thing to attaining your breakthrough. To seeing God bring about those things you're looking for. You're going to have an understanding of the awesome plan that God has for you. He's going to bring fulfillment into your life in 2006. But it's dependent, listen, on your relationship with Him. It's spending that time with Him, knowing who He is, knowing in your heart, believing, knowing His love for you. As you develop that confidence and hang out with Him, it's what brings faith to you. And as you begin to hear His voice, and then He can lead and direct and give you instruction and show you what He has. If you don't have a relationship, then you know it's the same old stuff over and over and over and over again for all your life. You want something new? You're going to have to do something new. You know that. So the Lord wants you to press in to your relationship with Him. It's going to come through His Word. It's going to come through His prayer. It comes through our fellowship together and hearing His Word and those things that we do to draw near to the Lord. Now here's the next thing. Then he said to Peter. In verse 4, now when he had left speaking afterwards, he said to Simon, launch out the deep and let down your nets. Lord wants you to launch out. But the Lord wants you to seek him and to then hear what he has to say, and then he's going to give you direction, and he'll open opportunities for you. They're going to come your way. And when they come, not to be fearful, because you're going to have peace in your heart as you're seeking God. There's always a test. There's always a test. Are you going to believe God? God's going to, you've prayed, you've been asking the Lord to bring things, and then believe God's going to bring things to you. And things are going to happen. There's going to be new opportunities. And step out in faith. It becomes a great adventure. But be open to what God wants to do. Time to break out. Time to get in that old rut. Time to get out of those things the way you always do them, the way you always think, the way you always see them. You know, he was trying to break Peter out of that thing, to begin to do something new and in a new way. That's what the Lord wants to do in our lives. God has new things for you, but it's like they say, Yahweh, not your way. It's going to be his way that it's going to happen. Somebody say, praise God. God's got new things for me. And notice in verse 4, he told him to go into the deep, into the deep. That means you're going to have to leave your security zone. You know, when you're out in the deep, you can't touch bottom anymore. It's over your head. You can't do it. I've never been here before. That's just where God wants you. So you're going to have to depend on him to make it happen. If you can do it easily, it's not even God. You know, anything you're going to do that has merit and is going to bring forth great blessing is going to be something you can't do that God does as we depend on him to do it. Listen to me. If you can do it easily, you know, then you're just doing the same old, same old. But it's when you step out to do something you've never done, it's not easily achieved. You can't do it without God. And you're going to watch God do as he rises up. See, God always challenges us to do things that are impossible to us, but all things are possible to him. And I'm doing things now I never dreamed I'd do in my life. Stretching me. It's over my head. Man, I got to pray. I've got to read. If I don't, I'm going to sink. I've got to stay close to the Lord. I'm not going to pull this thing off of my flesh. Hello. But look at the rewards that come to us. God wants me to launch out and do new things I've never done before. All of us. This is a growing thing. All of us are wherever we are. It's relative to us and where we are. If you're a brand new Christian, you've been walking with the Lord for a while. You haven't arrived because none of us arrived. If you arrived, you'd be in heaven today. You wouldn't be sitting here. God wants to stretch us. He's got more for us. And it comes by faith. I want you to know that in verse 5, Simon answering said to him, Master, we've toiled all night. Man, you know, we've been there. We tried that. It didn't work. And we know all about it. We tried that before. You know, we've already experienced that. You know, whatever you tried or experienced before, it doesn't matter at all. It's of no consequence. It's not what you think you know. We're throwing that out. We're going to do it God's way now. Let's remember, God wants to do something. So, you know, we've already tried that. No, you haven't. It's every once in a while, you know, say, did you pray about it? Oh, yeah, nothing happened. Well, it wasn't God's connection that was off, I'll tell you that. It's your electricity, something's not flowing. You know, it's not God. He's promised to answer prayer. Anything we pray according to his will and faith, he's going to answer. Is that right? So don't tell me you tried it and it doesn't work. What, God's machinery's broken? Your machinery's broken. You know, do it again. Do it in a different way. Dig in. Get the word in your heart. Encourage you. Begin to pray. Get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Get a new power in your prayer. Do something different. Do something different. God wants you to press in. He's already promised to answer us. He's promised to do new things. But it doesn't matter what you tried before. It doesn't matter what you're comfortable doing. God might have you do something that you've never done, that you're not comfortable doing. Hey, remember, I went to college to work as a commercial artist. Now, this was a new thing. I'm telling you, God stretched me. God may have you doing something entirely different than anything that you ever planned. You say, well, what are you doing now? I'm pumping gas. Well, God's getting your hand in shape. He wants you to be a brain surgeon. Hallelujah. I don't know. I don't know what God has for you, but God has something great for you that's going to bring glory to Him. Somebody say, praise God. God's got something great for me in 2006. So don't give me excuses how you did that and it didn't work. It doesn't matter. So did Simon Peter. He tried it. It didn't work. But now, at the word of God, he did it. Same thing, but in a different way. Did it in a new way. So he says in verse 5, nevertheless, at thy word, faith stands on God's word alone. Not how we feel, not what we see, not what we know. It doesn't compute with our computer. We stand on God's word alone. It doesn't make sense. Nevertheless, at thy word, we toiled all night. We know these waters. We've done this for a living for years. We know where the fish hang out. We know where they're not. And we know they're not out in the deep. Nobody fishes out there. Yeah, I can just kind of see Peter, you know. The Lord says, well, praise God, Peter. Won't you just launch out into the deep and let down your nets and get ready for a great drought? And he says, Lord, I mean, we've been doing this thing, you know. We did it all night. We told. We didn't catch anything at all. He kind of elbows his buddy, you know. Nevertheless, you know, we'll give it a shot. Man, they went out there and did it a whole different way. It didn't go against, it went completely against their thinking. And then God brought this great harvest. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to get His perspective, not your own perspective. Just because you've been doing it this way, doing it this way, doing it this way, doing it this way, doing it this way. Don't you think it's time for a change? God wants to do something different. And there's a test in it. You know, you're going to have to take that step of faith where it just doesn't, it's not reasonable. It's not reasonable to do that. We're talking about faith. We're not talking about your reasoning ability. Because I tell you, your reasoning ability is no match to God's reasoning ability. You're going to trust Him and trust God's word. Can you say amen? But you're going to have to respond to Him. Breakthrough always requires obedient faith. It'll come no other way. There has to be obedient faith. You do nothing, nothing's going to happen. When you're obedient and walk in faith, believing in God, then things are going to happen. It's going to take your obedient faith to make things happen. And then we see God's response to their faith in verse 6. And when they had done this, after they had done this, when they did this, after they responded, they enclosed this great multitude of fish. Their nets couldn't even hold them. The nets are busting at the seam. When they did that, after they did it, even though it didn't make any sense, nevertheless, God always does far more than we ever expect Him to do when we walk in faith and obedience to God. Quit trying in your own strength. Listen, this isn't just John Lloyd talking today. I'm telling you, heaven is opened up, giving you instruction. God wants to bring an increase into your life in 2006, not just financially, in every way. God wants new doors to happen, new experiences. Things are going to happen as He stretches you to believe Him, that He sees you in a different way than you see yourself. That He sees the things that can happen. He's saying, trust me with your life. Let me direct it. Believe me. You just leave it up to me. You just do what I'm telling you to do and you're going to get blessed. You know, some messages, it takes a lot of time and preparation. And I mean, it should. You study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that rightly divides the word of truth, not being ashamed. So, you know, sometimes you just study and prepare, but once in a while, God just drops it on me. It's like a gift. I mean, it's awesome. I wish they'd all come like that, but they don't. But this one just, boom, was there. You know, I went in my office, and I just sat down, and boom, 10 points. Just like that. 10 points from God. Don't give me that look. It just, boom, there it was. No laboring, no just... I just really felt it was God's word to you as a congregation as we enter into the new year. He wants you to launch out. He wants you to have an expectancy. This isn't a rebuke because I'm not directing it to you personally because I don't know who stood up and who didn't stand up. So, don't get upset with me. But I'm just telling you, when I talked about expecting things from God in 2006, 90% of the congregation stood up. 10% just stayed in their seats. What's that say? I'm not expecting that much. That's what you'll get. It comes to us according to our faith, according to our belief, with expectancy. I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. I believe it. God's got something great for me. He's saying, new year. I've seen a lot of them come and go. I tried that before. See? So don't get upset with me. I don't know who you are. I didn't take names or anything. I'm just saying, God, why did I bring that up? Because I'm saying those of you who sat down, God wants to bless you. But God wants you to have faith. He wants you to have an expectancy. That's what's going to cause things to happen in your life. You're believing God is there. I'm seeking after God. God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And we believe it. Man, you can just say, man, why did I wait so long to obey God? Do whatever He's saying. Well, He may tell you to do something. Do it. He may tell you to quit doing something. Quit doing it. He may tell you to just wait. Then just wait. I don't know what He's going to say. God's going to say something different to everybody. But whatever He's impressing on you, obey God in faith and just do what He's telling you to do. He may tell you to buy something. He may tell you to give something. I don't know. Just do it. I'm not God. The Holy Spirit speaks to every person in this room individually. There's nothing that we can say, 1, 2, 3, blessing. It's relationship with Him as He guides and directs you and deals with you and with your faith and things that He needs to deal with me and with you that are different. But God responds to our faith. Whatever He's pressing on you, do it. And God always responds to faith and obedience. He always brings more than we ever expected. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think according to the power that works in us. That's your faith. That's the power of God that operates in you. That's what makes it happen or not happen. Man, listen to me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got to get down here. God wants to bless you so bad. He gave His Son to die for you, to open up heaven, that you can tap into the resources and blessing of God. And we just sit here numb to it when God's offering us the whole warehouse. Don't tell me it's not worth it to serve God. I found out through the years when God's told me to step out and do something, man, it just seems unreasonable or difficult or hard, or there's so many things that have to overcome, and how's that going to work? And I just don't know what's going to happen. And God says, will you just take the first step of faith and not worry about what's going to happen the next day and the next day and the next day? I'll lead you there when you get there. I don't have to worry about that. Just today, God will lead me tomorrow. He'll show me what to do. Of course, God can give you a plan. But I'm telling you, the Lord's not going to tell you right now. Here's the plan for 2006. I'm laying it all out for you. Pray once, it's a done deal. No. It's a daily relationship with the Lord. But He'll do more than you ever expected He'll do. That's who He is. He came to give us this life and give it to us more abundantly. Isn't that right? Multitude. Bigger. I look at God and I know what I deserve. But instead of God giving me what I deserve, He blesses me. And it's just, oh God, You're so good. It's more than I deserve, more than I ever expected. You're good. Sure, it's God's grace. It's also faith. Because we believe God for it. Because we know who He is. Comes out of our heart knowing He's a God of love and mercy and grace who loves to give good things to His children. How much more will He give good things to His children to those who ask Him? God wants to bless you in this coming year. And I'm not talking just about money. You know, maybe it has to do with physical healing. Maybe it has to do with, you know, your home, your marriage, your kids. Maybe it has to do with just some mountain that's been there blocking the way for a long time. I don't know. God's going to do more than you expect if you put your trust and give that thing to God and trust Him. It's going to be something that's going to stretch your faith so that you'll have to work to stay in faith. Because the devil will always try to tell you it's not going to happen. Man, when the devil's just hassling you all the time, you know God's up to something. If the devil's leaving you alone, that means God's not doing much in your life. Thank you very much, but it's the truth. You know, if the devil's not hassling you, that just means, you know, God's not doing much there because you're not having faith. You know, threat. You know, threat. People that are a threat to the devil, I mean, that's where he's going to be after. You've heard it. New levels, new devils. Man, I want to go somewhere in 2006. All right, put on the armor. Here we go. Some of you are faint. You're weak. Wimpy. Wimpy Christians. It's so hard being a Christian. It's so hard. Pray for me. Pray for yourself. Get prayed full of the Holy Ghost. Get into the Word. Trust God to live your life through you and for you, not you. You're not going to live the life. He is going to live the life through you. Man, every once in a while, a pastor will say, I'm just burnt out. That's no testimony. Saying burnt out. I don't spend any time with God. I really don't have any faith. I don't have things in priority. I don't know how to schedule my time. I got things all messed up in my life. That's what they're saying. And then something else will say, I'm in the battle. Pray for me. That's something else. But don't tell me you're burnt out. Then do something about it. Get filled up again. Get fired up. Stirred up the gifts again. Get close to God again. Where were you when you weren't burnt out? Get on fire again. Not burnt out. If you're down today and discouraged, then get up. That's what God's saying to you. Quit looking in 2005 and start looking ahead and the good things that God has for you. And then look, God's going to do more than you expect. And it says in verse 6, and when they had done this, he enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the nets broke, and they beckoned to their partners. So come, help us. And the other ship, they came to help them. And they came and they filled both ships. So they began to sink. Here's the next thing I want to say. You know, when God blesses you, don't get greedy and say, mine. Mine. It's mine. They called in their partners. They said, bring your boats over. Get in on this. Help us out. Don't be ashamed to ask for help if you need for help. We all need help. And we need one another. We're the body of Christ. Don't be so proud. I'm going to do this thing together. I don't want anybody to know my problems. I can do it myself. You need somebody to pray for you and stand with you. I'm not ashamed to ask for prayer. Man, I want you to know you can pray for me anytime you want to. And when you come up and say, Pastor, I've been praying for you, I'm not going to say, oh, really? What for? You know what I'm going to say? Thank you. I need it. We need one another. So, you know, when God blesses you, don't be greedy. Don't be proud. Share your blessing. If you need help from somebody, get it. There's been people that have gone there before you. There's other people in business that have done it. They blazed a trail. Well, you know, why don't you find out how they did it? Maybe they won't do it the same way, but they can give you some things that are going to help you. All right, here's the next thing. Look in verse 8. Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus. And when Simon Peter saw it, can you imagine this? Here's, you know, we know Peter because we read about him. But this, remember, this is the first run-in he's got with Jesus. And he listens to him teach, and he never heard anybody like this. And, whew, man, he says, something's happening here today. This truth's penetrating his heart. And then he picks him out of the whole crowd. He says, Peter, I want you to launch out there, go in the deep, and let down your nets. Oh, man. And, you know, he had that immediate doubt in his flesh, like all of us do when God tells us to do something. But nevertheless, at the word of God, he did it. And then he sees this something greater than he ever, I mean, you know, maybe he was expecting a couple sardines, you know. But I mean, nothing like this. I mean, man, nothing like this. The nets are breaking. The boat's sinking. He said, man, who is this guy? Brings in the other boats carrying. And look what he says. Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which he had taken. It blows him away. See, as God blesses us, as he answers prayer, as he moves sovereignly in our lives, as we see his breakthrough, as we see his provision and his healing and his wisdom and his intervention and his protection, and how did we ever avoid that accident? There's no way the car could have turned like that to miss it. And when God intervenes and we see God move, God's blessing always brings a new adoration, a new surrender, a new awe, a new reverence for the Lord. We surrender. Oh, God, we see him. See, there's always reward to our faith, and it'll always bring us closer to the Lord. Some of you can remember things like that had happened, and you know that God did it once, he'll do it again. And it keeps you going, and it's what brings faithfulness to us, even through the dry periods. Keeps us going because we know who God is. We saw who he was. This is the man that calms the storms. This is the man who heals the sick and raises the dead and provides the fish. And this is the man that's come through for us, and he's in my life, and he's here, and I know he's here, and he's real, and there's really nowhere else to go. I'm going to put my trust in him completely for my life. That's why there's people that are faithful that are in church all the time and other people that just aren't around that much. There's no adoration. There's no awe. There's no wonder. That you haven't figured out. Either God's done something great and you just even compute that God did it. That somehow you think you did it or somebody else did it. Or maybe you've never experienced it because you've really never had faith to really reach out to God. But when you experience him and see his heart, that he wants to bring such abundance and blessing, it'll bring worship, reverence. You know, the same thing happened to Peter when they were in the storm and he walked on the water, when they came to the shore, they said, who is this man? Even the seas respond to his voice. And it says, and they worshiped him. God wants to show himself strong on your behalf. Listen, God wants to show himself strong on your behalf. Not the person next to you, behind you, in front of you. I want you to say it with me. God wants to show himself strong on my behalf. Say it again. God wants to show himself strong on my behalf. Lord, you want to show yourself strong. You want to show yourself faithful for us as we put our trust in you as a witness to your glory, that your word is true. You're no respecter of persons. You respond wherever there's faith. You do great and mighty things. You bring, Lord, your abundance of blessing where in whatever realm it may be. Lord, as we have faith in you, you want to show yourself strong as a witness to the people around you. Lord, you want to do it. It's your heart for every person in this room. And here's the last thing. As God rises up, as God provides, as God opens door for you in this next year, as God brings reversals and turns and protects and provides whatever he does to bring his sovereign blessing over your life. Look in verse 10. It says, and so was also James and John and sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. They were blown away too. And Jesus said to Simon, fear not, from now on you're going to catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. This is really important. I want to see the last thing that I'm sharing with you today. See, our blessings are always involved. They always include God's purpose. It's not just, he doesn't just bless us for us. They're always tied in with his purpose. He blessed them. He brought the multitude into their lives so that they could enter into the true purpose that God had for them to be fishers of men. No matter what you're doing, God wants to use you for his purposes, for his glory, to shine his light to other people. The people would know that God's in your life and you're touching people with that light wherever you go. God doesn't say, oh, I'm just bless you just to, you know, give them a good time and let them go blow it. No, God blesses you so that you will see how great he is. He'll take care of your needs, but he wants you to share his love and share his goodness with other people. God isn't satisfied just giving it to one. He wants multitudes to have the multitudes of blessing. Amen. Listen to me. God's got a purpose and plan for your life. He doesn't want you to stay the way you are. We live in our self-centeredness. It's about me, 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 me. Never want to go out of our way. Never want to be inconvenienced. Don't want to give anything to anybody else. Listen, God wants the body of Christ to start doing something. You know, there's a song that's been out. You know, if this is the body, why aren't the hands working?